Om Shanti, and good evening to everyone, especially to Sister Denise, who I'll introduce to you in a few moments, but firstly a few announcements. Tomorrow in Gyan Sarovar, in the training section, training room one, there is an arts workshop given by a Dutch sister, Marie. Now, if anybody is interested in attending that workshop, please would you register for that so that we have some idea of how many will be attending. And secondly, Aruna Ben will be having one of her meditation experience sessions in the plaza at 5 o'clock. So we'd also like registrations for that. If you are registered, but it would be nice if we can have some idea of who would like to be there for those sessions. Thank you very much. And so now I welcome Sister Denise. For those of you who don't know her, she is the first Western BK, and that was from 1974. She was previously in connected to news and broadcasting, and her role in that has continued in the BK world. She's in charge of Godlywood Studios, and she's a very accomplished and great yogi, and has many, many very interesting programs on the Godlywood and the Peace of Mind channel. Denise? Which channel do they connect with you on?
Peace of Mind, Raja Yoga TV, Om Shanti TV, and YouTube TV.
So even when you aren't sitting in front of Denise Ben, you can have many great experiences with her on these channels. So thank you for being with us. We look forward to hearing everything that you can share with us.
Thank you very much, Om Shanti. I'll just make a couple of corrections. I'm not in charge of Godlywood Studio, but of a department within it, which is called the Overseas Communication Center, and that looks after foreign broadcasting and news from foreign. So if you do any interesting activities, then you send it to OCC@GodlywoodStudio.org, and we put it on the Peace News International. So I was told to come for 6 o'clock, so sorry, I'm a little later than anticipated. The topic, I don't know if you got this topic, but the topic I gave is how to be a pearl around Baba's neck and in Baba's heart. Is that the one you got? Yes? So, pearls. Actually, in India, there is a place which is specialized in pearls in southern India. And pearls, you normally think of them as white, but you can get pink ones and black ones, and they come in different colors. And pearls are created by oysters, right? And oysters are such shellfish that they have within themselves something called mother of pearl. And with that mother of pearl, they make pearls. And what causes a pearl to start to happen is a bit of grit that gets into the oyster and irritates it. So there's a lot of symbolic value in this idea of being a pearl, and I'm sure that Baba is very aware of the symbolism connected to his pearls. So one is those pearls that you can drill holes in and make into a necklace. And you've probably seen that Vishnu has pretty elaborate garlands, and some of them are pearls. So in the path of bhakti, pearls are very much used as a decoration of deities. And a pearl is also a word, you know, in Hindi the word for a pearl is moti. And whenever anybody drops a tear when they're experiencing very deep love for Baba, then Baba says, these are pearls. So your tears of love are pearls that are gathered together and made into garlands around Baba's neck. So if ever you have gone into such meditation, such deep meditation, that you have felt Baba's love, or you have felt love for Baba and it has cause tears to emerge. These are sweet tears, and these sweet tears are tears of love and pearls. So you are those pearls. And that there is something else about pearls that's quite interesting. Because pearls are created deep down in the ocean. And the ocean is also having a symbolic value for your subconscious. And as the oyster builds up pearls, these pearls are made up of years and years of layers of this very soft and non-scratchy substance. And so it's layers and layers and layers and layers. And as the oyster gets older, the pearl, of course, gets bigger. And some pearls are perfectly round, and some pearls are having other shapes, depending on the nature of the irritant, the piece of grit that's an irritant. And so, for Baba to talk to us about us being pearls, it seems to me quite interesting that before we can become a pearl, we start off with some irritant inside us, you see. So when we come to Baba, we are in our last birth, and we have lost all of our spiritual strength, and we have acquired different negative characteristics which are irritating to other people. And then when we notice them, then they become irritating to us too. And then we have to deal with them. I think many BKs try to change the sanskaras. Have you tried changing a sanskar? Had any luck? You know. So you can think about building up pearls within yourselves as a good way to handle some of those very difficult sanskaras that just won't go away. Because you see, once a piece of grit enters into the oyster shell, it can't get out. And the oyster doesn't have any mechanism for pushing out this piece of grit. So its only chance is to soften it. And there's another part of the world where something similar also happens. And this is in Iceland. I don't know if any of you have ever been in Iceland. It's very far away, yeah? But in Iceland, Iceland is made of volcanoes. And when a volcano erupts, the lava is very hard and scratchy. So if you touch it even a little bit, it will cut your skin and really hurt. But what there also is in Iceland is naturally emerging silicon. So silicon is what you have in all your cell phones and computers and all of this. So silicon is very, very soft, like mother of pearl. So near the airport at Reykjavik in Iceland, there is a lake. And I think they call it Blue Lake or the White Lake or something like that. Anyway, it's absolutely white. Because in Iceland, you have all these thermal, volcanic, high-temperature water eruptions that come from the depth of the earth mixed with volcanic activity. And so one of the things the volcanoes produce, along with this very harsh, scratchy lava, is this very soft silicon. And so in this lake, it's warm because it's part of the volcanic spring, and it's also, the water is completely white, and it has built up layers and layers of this extremely soft substance. So if you go swimming in that lake, it may be freezing cold outside, but it's really warm inside the lake. And you can't see anything because it's completely like bathing in milk, except it's silicon. And all of this harsh stone on the side of this lake is soft, like you're on the inside of an oyster bathing in mother of pearl. So that's kind of nice. So we have in this world all these real natural phenomena that can be used in your poetic mind to remind you about your relationship with Baba. Because Baba has said that everything you experience in the material world, if you look at it in a certain way, it reminds you about Baba. And this is a very good system for being able to be all the time with Baba. Because whenever you see anything or hear anything or notice anything or experience anything, it contains within itself the possibility that you can interpret it as something that reminds you of Baba. So for example, if you're going for a walk and you look into the sky and you see clouds, you remember that Baba has called you here. You see, why do BKs wear white? Maybe a bit of grey sometimes. It's because we're clouds. And we have come to the ocean of knowledge and peace and love and purity to absorb this water of knowledge into ourselves from the ocean. And then clouds form on mountain tops, you see, or they go from the ocean to mountain tops. And then as you experienced in the last couple of days, it becomes rainy. And so you come here to fill with the ocean of knowledge. And as clouds, the wind blows you away or the airplanes carry you away, and you go back to your place and you shower the knowledge on the people who are there as good clouds, you see. And so now think of yourselves as pearls, you see. Now pearls, thinking of yourself as pearls has a lot of depth to it, because it actually takes you to your subconscious. Baba had once said in a Murali that one of the reasons why he likes us to wake up at 3:30 in the morning is because at that time you're very close to your subconscious. And on one occasion, Baba had said, when you wake up at that time, just check into your subconscious and check what is the condition of your subconscious. Do you remember that Murali? No, it'll come one of these days on Sundays. But I thought when I heard that, it was several years ago, I thought that it was really very interesting that you come close to your subconscious at that time, because otherwise it's quite difficult for us to have access to our subconscious, and this is why it's called the subconscious. You know what's going on in your conscious mind, but what's deep down below that is generally inaccessible. We would like to know what's going on there. And in our Gyan, it is often said that the subconscious contains the experiences of previous births, the sanskaras, right? Because we've had 84 births. Has anybody here not had 84 births? We've all had. It's a lot of births, if you think about it. There's not very many people in this world who had that many births. They usually got a lot less. But people who have 84 births, they have all these layers, layers and layers and layers of experience. So when Baba tells us to spin the cycle, you know, he likes us to remember our titles, yeah. So one of our titles is, now we've got a title of, you're a pearl. So it's a nice one to think about. But also you are the spinner or the possessor of the cycle of self-realization. And the cycle of self-realization is about all these 84 births that are layer upon layer within our soul. And of course the soul does not, when you get a different body, you don't get a different soul. It's always the same soul. So you always you. You can't become some other person. That's not possible. But sometimes when people are body conscious, they think when they get a new birth, they get a different soul. But you don't. It's the same soul. It's in a different condition. And, you know, to have 84 births, you don't want to do the same thing every birth, because that would be too boring, right? So you have eight births as a deity, but each birth as a deity would be different. You don't want to have eight births of the same, because in 1250 years, just doing the same thing is boring, and even deities would be bored. So it has to be interesting. So you have eight different types of ways of being a golden age deity. And you can think about your golden age deity self. And then you have 12 as a silver age deity. And then you have to try and figure out what's the difference between a golden age deity and a silver age deity. I don't think there's that much difference. But anyway, you can figure it out, and that too from an experiential state, because on one hand we have Gyan, which goes into the intellect. So we have the intellect filled with knowledge, but why is our intellect filled with knowledge? Because the intellect doesn't experience anything. Right? Have you ever had an intellectual experience? No. You experience in your mind. Your mind is for experiencing. Your intellect is for accumulating information. So you have all this information in your intellect. Now what are you going to do with it? So why we get information in our intellect is so that we can give it as food for the mind, right? Gyan is always called food for the mind. And then he talks about you have to focus the yoga of your intellect on one. Did you ever wonder what that means? Did you wonder? What does it mean? The yoga of the intellect. In Hindi we have this word buddhi yoga. You see, and this gets translated as yoga of the intellect, which is not an English word. So it's very difficult to know what that means. And if you don't know what it means, then you can't actually do it, can you? So I have been thinking about it, and the yoga of your intellect seems to me to be the focus of your attention. So every time you hear this word buddhi yoga or yoga of the intellect, you can translate that further to mean focus of attention. So your intellect is like a muscle, and the intellect has to focus the mind on an idea so that the mind can experience it or give you an experience of it, you see, because a soul has a mind and it has an intellect and it has a bunch of sanskaras, but it is not a mind or an intellect or sanskaras, right? How do I know that? Because Baba has said your mind, your intellect and your sanskaras, they are organs of the soul, subtle organs of the soul, and your body has got the gross or physical organs for the soul to experience physical reality. Is that right? Yes? So, now, just think about it for a moment. Baba said in the Murali today that you should be antarmukhi. That means you become introverted. So what is antarmukhi? It means that you position yourself, or you exist, on the inside of your face. So if you just go for a moment to the inside of your face, and how far in, you could probably go about 2 or 3 inches behind your face. Can you try that? And then when you look at something, you have to focus your attention, that means your intellect focuses your attention through your eyes, and you see some physical visual scene. But where do you experience that scene, you see? Do you experience it where it is, or do you experience it where you are? That's a question. Yeah. So, to me, you experience it in your mind. So whether it's out there or not, of course it is out here, but if you didn't have any eyes, you couldn't see it. But you're still there, your mind is still there, but your eyes are not there. So you can't see it. So you know it's there because somebody told you, but you can't experience it if you don't have eyes. Is that right? So you experience all these things in your mind. And why Baba tells us that is all these things that are taking place on the outside of our bodies. When we are practicing to be in antarmukta, that means to be living behind your face, then you have choice as to what goes in to your mind. Because what goes into your mind is decided by your intellect. Because your intellect is the thing that says, okay, I'm going to look over this way, or I'm going to look over that way. Your eyes will show you the whole scene, but what you look at is what your intellect focuses your attention on. So, now, how will we use this knowledge to our advantage? Because there are sometimes experiences that occur, and we do not like those experiences, right? One of the experiences we do not like is if somebody says some words which we find offensive, yeah? They say something, we don't want to hear that, we don't like that. But it went in your ears, and from there it went into your mind, and there you experience being upset because this word was spoken by somebody, you see. And when we are living on the outside of our bodies, which is called baharmukta, you're living on the outside of your face, you are in the external world. There's no, you know, distance or space in which you can make a choice about how you feel about what somebody said. You have no time, no space, so that it impacts you immediately. Do you see what I'm saying? And so Baba has suggested to us that if you live on the inside of your face, then you have a possibility to choose what you will experience and how you will experience it. And for this, Baba has given us this thing called power of transformation, which is what I think the pearl is all about. You see, because the oyster transforms the irritating piece of grit that comes into it into this beautiful, smooth and valuable pearl. And so to me there is very good symbolic value in this, that when anything comes in, then we can immediately transform it. Or even Baba had said in another Avyak Murli that somebody may send a stone. Some harsh words is like a stone coming towards us and going into our ears. And he said that you have the possibility, you could receive this as a bouquet of flowers. It's up to you. You see, because you have choice. But to exercise that choice, you need some time and some space. And Baba generally tells us that our exam's duration is 1 second, yeah? And now, I do video, as you heard, and video, if you do PAL, you see this camera here that's shooting in PAL, and in PAL you have 25 frames in 1 second, so you have 25 different possibilities of 25 photographs in 1 second, so that's quite a lot. If you are in NTSC, which is the American type of television, that's 24 frames, so you lost one. You know. And nowadays, in film, they shoot 48 frames a second, so double the number of frames, so you get very, very high resolution. But if you use this idea, as your exam is 1 second, but you have 48 possibilities, in that 1 second. And sometimes when you're in a very urgent and extreme situation, like car accident or something, people have said that time slows down. You know. And so you can also, in your mind, because time is just what we decide it is, right? You can slow it down so that you become very aware of the period of time that this event is taking place in, and you can actually do a transition, because in video you do transition, so you change from one cut to another cut by a blur or a whirly-whirly or something like that. You have lots of possibilities. And you can change that stone into a bouquet of flowers and experience something that was intended by somebody to hurt you, you experience it as something quite pleasant. And what that means is that by doing that, you actually alter your karma. Because you didn't experience the intention of the person or the harsh thing that they sent in your direction, but you took it, which you can, you take it, you interpret it as something very nice. And so that person has their own karma, but you see, if you experience sorrow, when somebody intends to give you sorrow, then not only they have performed a sin, but you have also performed a sin. Because as you know, that Baba has suggested that we're not supposed to take sorrow. Have you heard that? Don't take sorrow. Have you succeeded? Usually not, right? Because there's a whole mechanism of not taking sorrow which we have to figure out and practice. And so this is quite a good way. And this piece of grit to pearl is quite a nice way to transform things. And the thing with pearls, you see, it's layers upon layers upon layers of soft, beautiful mother of pearl, which builds up and makes a beautiful pearl. Now, what normally happens to us is when somebody says something that really seriously offends us, what we tend to do is remember it, and we take multiple layers of sorrow. They shouldn't have said this. This was not very nice. They did not respect me. Da 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 da. And it goes on for weeks, you know. And so instead of a little rock, you end up with a big rock, which is harsh and unpleasant and sits in your mind in the way. And of course, you have to do a lot of work to get rid of that and get back to being a nice yogi and BK and all that, yeah? So it seems to me that this pearl idea is really good, what he has given us. And I think that if you want to be one of the 108 pearls around his necklace, the garland of 108, then if you have 108 nasty things that have happened to you and you have built it up into 108 beautiful pearls, then that would qualify you as one of the 108. What do you think? Would that work? Because you see, I often mention that there are three kinds of sins, and this one called taking sorrow is a difficult one to not do, because you see, we don't have this background in bhakti or in our moral training and so on of not taking sorrow. You know, your parents and your teachers and your religious leaders will tell you don't give sorrow. So we know that. And we practice that. And so don't do something you shouldn't do. And then we also know about the second type of sin, which is to do what you're supposed to do. Because if you don't do what you should do, then that's also a sin, you see. So that we know about. But not taking sorrow, we have no practice for that. But we have a lot of practice. We have extremely deep sanskaras of taking sorrow, because that's not part of morality, you see. But even there are some kinds of morality which say that it's a good idea to take as much sorrow as possible, you know. But Baba says, no, not a good idea. So how do we not take sorrow? I think we have to practice being a pearl. So as soon as there's any kind of sorrow, or if you have any old sorrow that's still sitting in your soul, you probably do have some, right? You know, some from your childhood, this happened, that happened, you know. And so I'm damaged from that. You probably are. But probably you didn't know that you could be an oyster and turn that into a pearl or a number of pearls, you see. So all these things that happen to us, and not only that, but in Gyan, you know, excuse me, have you ever had a smooth ride in Gyan? No, it's full of bumps and catastrophes, right? And then we either make it through them or not. If you're here, you've made it through, so that's good. But you have these injuries and these events that are sitting in your memory, that this happened and that happened and this one did this and nobody did anything about it and all this stuff, right? So these are all different kinds of sorrow that we took. So there's all these rocks inside your head which you have not actually got around to turning into pearls. So I think that it's a good practice to do that. And how you turn a rock into a pearl is really using this power of transformation. Power of transformation, you can also call it power of interpretation. So if somebody told you you're a complete idiot, which they might have, and you might even be, but it's still offensive, And so how would you transform that? Is to say, well, you know, you're welcome to your opinion, but Baba thinks I'm a pearl around his neck. So, you know. And when you have a thought like that, then you can evaluate if some ordinary BK thinks something and Baba thinks something, which one will you actually take in and take on? It's more interesting and more relevant to take the one that Baba says, don't you think? Because he is, you know, he says he's not Antaryami, but we know that he is, right? He knows everything that's going on inside. So, you know, he knows who we are because he is no fool. He's not going to make us into one of his children unless he thinks we're pretty good. Do you think? I mean, he's fussy. There's 7 billion people out there and he chose a few. He's not going to choose the wrong ones. He's obviously has the capacity to detect a deity soul even in a crowd of thousands of non-deities, right? He can detect one and say, okay, come over here. I've got a school and I'm going to show you how to turn into a pearl. Do you want to? And you say, oh, that sounds interesting. Yes, I think I'll do that, you know. And so if somebody else is unable to discern that you are a high caliber deity soul, it's not surprising because you're very, very disguised, isn't it? You know, we've had 84 births and our pure deity self is on the very inside, and the current layer, I go back to this cycle of self-realization. Now, you can think it's Golden Age, Silver Age, Copper Age, Iron Age, Confluence Age, but you could do it another way. You'd have Golden Age in the middle, and then you could have Silver Age after that, and then Copper Age, and then Iron Age. So the outside of your black pearl, you could say, is Iron Age, do you see? So if there's a white pearl on the inside and a black pearl on the outside, and somebody doesn't have X-ray vision, they're not going to know. They're going to think, oh, this is just a black pearl. And you're going to say, ah, but there's a white one on the inside. Right? A pure one. A golden one. Is that right? I'm not talking about skin color. You know, skin color is a body thing. And we come in all colors. And even you can have somebody with the whitest skin with the blackest soul. Yeah, you get that. So it's really not about that. It's about your consciousness. So if your consciousness is I am a deity soul, and you go through all of these characteristics of the Silver Age and the Copper Age and the Iron Age. You know, Baba has also told us that it is impossible to remember God unless you're miserable. Did you notice that? So if you're not miserable, it's not going to work. So the only way to get miserable is to go through 84 births and have at least 63 births making mistakes so that you can be sufficiently miserable to remember God, in which case you can then become a deity again. So this is why we have to do that. And we have to understand that, you see, because we are dynamic people. We are not static. Shiv Baba is static. He does not go through changes. But he's not a human, you see. It's very important to remember Shiv Baba is not a human, so he doesn't operate like a human. But he does have human children. So, we are humans. We have a non-human father, and an angelic mother. Because Brahma Baba is angelic, right? He's our mother. So we're very strange people. We're humans with a non-human father and an angelic mother. And until we get sufficiently miserable, we can't become aware of this strange phenomenon. But now that we know, there are certain methods that we need to apply in order to get back to our superhuman, divine and deity origins. And what it involves more than anything else is the renunciation of taking sorrow, which is very, very difficult. This is called easy Raj Yoga, but it's not very easy to do that part, you see. And so we have to practice a lot with this taking sorrow and transforming it with other thoughts. So this power of transformation to make layers and layers and layers of altered thinking, you see. Anyway, soul consciousness is an altered state of consciousness, isn't it? Baba said we're supposed to be intoxicated today, right? So that means we have an altered state of consciousness, which means you interpret all these things to your advantage. Baba has said everything should be used in a worthwhile way. That means it should be made profitable. So if something comes into your eyes or your ears or your mind which presents itself as negative, you have to very quickly, you have 1 second to do this, very quickly re-engineer it so that you experience it with its deeper meaning, because everything contains a deeper meaning. Baba has sometimes said that every cloud has a silver lining. That's another way of looking at it. And so something seems to be bad. You see, BK is all about realizing that what it seems to be is not what it really is. Have you noticed that? But do forget that and take it at face value. We should never take things at face value because they're always much more subtle, much deeper than that. So you have to go deep, deep, deep inside and find out what does this really mean? You know? We have questions. Long, long ago, Baba said, Murli, about this. You have a question, why? Why, right? You have a long list of whys. In Hindi, the word for why is kyun, which is like Q. So you have a long queue of whys. And why is this, and why is that, and why isn't somebody doing anything about it, and how come this, and how come that? You see, we have all these questions. And Baba had said, what you have to do with all these questions is turn the whys into fly. Fly. So when you're flying, that means you're intoxicated, you're enjoying yourself. That means that you understood why, the deeper, deeper, deeper reason, and you transformed it into something which makes you feel very happy. And when you're very happy, you're flying, is it not? Yes, definitely. So this is how you put these layers of mother of pearl over these questions that you have. And then there's another question that Baba had mentioned to us about, which is a what. What is this? What is going on? What, you know? And Baba said, when you have a what question, you remember what you have to do? You put a dot. Remember that, Murli? What to dot. So this is also a transformation. And the dot is you stop building that rock into a bigger rock. You stop that, put a dot, let it go, and get back to churning your titles. Baba said today, churn your titles. And there was one Murli in which Baba gave us a good 50, 60 titles, all in one Murli. And in fact, in every Sakar Murli, you get some titles. Swadarshan Chakradhari was one that we had today. It comes very frequently. And I think he found that we don't like to spin the cycle of self-realization, because there's a special reason why you would not like to do it. So I analyzed these things and I was figuring out, now why do we not want to spin the cycle of self-realization? Which is a very simple thing to do. First of all, you have to say, I'm a golden age deity. And of course you know that that's not true. So you can't say that, because it would be a lie. And then you don't mind the next part, that's okay. I'm a silver-aged warrior soul, I'm fighting all sorts of things. So that's true. So you can do that part. And then the next one comes, I'm a merchant. I'm trying to make deals with Baba all day long, you know, so that it gets a bit easier. You do that. So that's true, you know. But then nobody wants to admit that I'm a Shudra. So you can't do that part. Is that right? I never seen anybody willingly admit that they're a Shudra. A Chamar, you know, something like that. You know, they hate that. So you can do Silver Age, you can do Copper Age, but you can't do Golden Age, you can't do Iron Age. So golden, silver, copper, iron, he found that his children are not doing it. So he gave us a different one, which is much better. And that's the five forms. This is also spinning. You see, and the five forms are very good because every single one of them are perfect. And Baba noticed that his children are all perfectionists. Are you a perfectionist? I think so. Yeah, nothing's ever quite good enough, right? It's a sign of a perfectionist. Either you yourself are not good enough or somebody else is not good enough. Whatever it is, it's not good enough. It's never perfect, right? And then you can become suitably miserable so that you can then remember Baba. So it's all part of the plan. You know, it's very, very good, his method. Anyway, so you can try the five forms, because that works quite well. You can be a perfect point. That's okay, right? It's true. You're a point. No problem. I'm a point. I am a deity soul. Well, I'm going to be anyway, so that's okay. And then, you see, the next one is your worship-worthy form, right? So now, that's not Ganesh, believe me. A lot of people think it is, but it's not. Your worship-worthy form is a reflection of your deity form, right? Because the moon is always reflected light from the sun. So your worship-worthy form looks like your actual worshipable form. It's a reflection of it. So that's okay. You can be a reflection of your perfect form. That's all right. And then the next one is Brahman. Of course, you're not a perfect Brahman by a long way. But anyway, you're going to be. So that's okay. Yes? As you become perfect Brahman, that naturally morphs into the angelic form, which naturally morphs into the dot. You see, so this is much easier to spin, because you don't have to pretend to be perfect, which you're not, and you can't bear the idea of being a Shudra, which he thinks we are, but we don't think we are, because we have too much ego, right? Anyway, it's gradually going, so that's okay. And the best people to get rid of our ego is people who have the third eye. That means other BKs. And they are expert in making us miserable enough that we have to remember Baba. So that's very good. You see, so Baba's plan is very practical. He knows exactly how to get us to remember him in a very good way, in a very sustained way. And it's dynamic. And so now his latest gift for us is to teach us how to be pearls and how to pearlize all of our miseries, you see. And even if you've got a bunch of grit inside your mind from old miseries from the past, you can just start putting this mother of pearl on it and keep it going. This is known as churning. You know, you just keep coming up with these good thoughts about all of these so-called bad events that you allowed to come into your mind purely and simply because you were not living on the inside of your face. So this practice of being antarmukhi, going right on the inside of your face, this is very good for building these valuable pearls within. See, then you have a head full of pearls and diamonds instead of a head full of these pieces of grit, you see. And Baba says we should not have waste thoughts. Have you heard that? Viart. So I always analyze these things. So Viart, I said, how can you have a waste thought? What is a waste thought? Do you throw it in the waste paper basket or what? How do you know if it's a waste thought? So I look at the Hindi, and Hindi is viart, so it means it doesn't have any meaning. Viart. No meaning, yeah? So it means if you're having a thought that doesn't have any significance, it doesn't have any seriously good meaning, that's a viart thought. So don't have them, because they're not productive. And he says instead you should have a samart thought. And normally this is translated as a powerful thought. Now, what's a powerful thought? You don't know. You see, how to turn waste into powerful. So it's better to say, I think, viart into samart means something that doesn't have any significance into something that has full of significance. So all of these thoughts that you make as the mother of pearl that covers your piece of grit, and you gradually build up your pearl with these layers and layers of pearls. These are layers and layers of significant thoughts that you come up with. You have to be very creative in your thinking, and then you will find that it works very, very well. So, I can see our Madhuban brothers want to meditate now, so I will stop. And you can practice in this meditation, finding all the grit in your soul, and just get busy turning it into pearls. Om Shanti.